The EMS Garage is a production of EMSRadio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001. This episode is sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. If you would like to get a free audiobook and a 14-day free trial, sign up by going to www.audiblepodcast.com/EMS. That's www.audiblepodcast.com/EMS.
The EMS Garage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EMS Garage. It's your weekly podcast about all things EMS and your EMS roundtable of really good and nice people. Maybe nicer than me. I'm Chris Montero, Geeky Medic, on all those websites you can find me. And joining me tonight is Mr. Kyle David Bates. Hello, sir.
Hey, Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Hey, and I'm going to give you a plug because very soon you're going to start seeing brand new iTunes logos from us, and it's because of Kyle David Bates, and dude, you're awesome. Thank you so much. That was, dude, it was huge, and you made me my own little icon for emsradio.com, which was very cool.
Yeah, I had some fun with it. The one key was driving me nuts. I had to fix the keyhole in the leadership one.
I know. It was my sad attempt at trying to do something like that. So it looks very nice. And actually, right after this podcast, I'm taping my first leadership podcast in about a month and a half. So this will be good. And I can't wait to start using that. So thank you so much. And go to KyleDavidBates.com. Contact him. And he'll do your service well for doing some really sweet logos. And I can't tell you. It's just cool. You did such a great job. So what have you been up to? You were teaching, right?
Running around teaching. Yeah, pardon me?
ITLS or something this weekend?
I taught an ITLS course this past weekend. I was at the State Fire Academy for New York the weekend before. Wisconsin with Freeze and John Dillon the weekend before that. And I head out to Alaska in a couple days.
Ooh. Well, this time of year it won't be so bad. Yeah, it'll be like 12 hours a day, 12 hours a night. It'll be nice.
Yeah, it's about what it is. They told me it's been about between 0 and minus 17, so.
Ah, it's warm. It's beautiful. Take your parka.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very nice. Well, thanks for joining us, Kyle. Also joining us tonight is Mr. Mark Glencorse, all the way from the UK and across the pond. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to be back on.
I know. It's so nice to have you. And the live podcasts from EMS Today will post, one of them will post this week, and you're on it. So thanks for joining us. What was your impression of your first large EMS show in the United States? What did you think?
Just fantastic. You know, I've been reading so many of the other blogs talking about it, and I didn't get to see any of the exhibition as such. I had a walk around once, but it was just getting the opportunity to meet so many people who I've either spoke to or listened to or read, and just having so many people there. It was just the best networking opportunity I've ever had in my life. It was amazing. And like you, lost my voice as well, but...
Right on. Well, mine's back this week, and it sounds like yours is good, too, so...
Yeah.
It's nice. Thanks for joining me at 1 a.m. your time, so I really appreciate that. Also joining us is Miss Natalie Quibido. Quibido? Quibido? Quibido. Am I saying it right? I'm close. Miss P. I mean, we'll call
Miss
you that.
Miss P. There you go. You get it right. You just guesstimate yourself.
I'm close. I'm getting close. So Natalie, tell me, what's going on with Gen Med Show? You guys have 4 podcast episodes now, or what's going on?
We cracked out 2 in like 2 weeks, so I'm proud of us. We actually got the ball rolling. Yeah.
Wow.
we are like becoming an official podcast, I guess. Our schedule's kind of wound down, and we said, hey, we're on the road. Let's get our Chronicles issues up of us going to San Francisco. And, you know, Jared and Maris went meet, did an interview with Mark and Justin and Setla, and they put that up just a couple days ago. So we're moving forward. We're hoping to move into the weekly podcast business very, very soon. So expect a lot more from Gen Med.
I love it. That's good. And then what else is going on with you, though? I mean, are you good? Happy? You didn't get to EMS today, though. We really missed you. Sorry.
I really wish I could have gone to EMS today, but financially things didn't work out, but that's okay. There will be other conferences that I will definitely not miss. Because
right.
I was at home sick with jealousy.
Ooh.
Looking at all you guys' tweets and the Ustream. I was very jealous.
Well, I know the feeling, because this week I wanted to go to South by Southwest, and I'm watching all the tweets come out of there, and I'm like, I can't even watch it anymore. I just can't watch it.
No. And that's not so far from me. I wish I would have.
It's close to both of us. It's really a quick flight for me to get to Dallas, and then just about a 2-hour car ride from Dallas to Austin, and oh, man. Next time, I will go. There's just a lot of really good things going on at that show, and I think it'd be, if you're in EMS 2.0 or you're in anything 2.0, I think it's really a good place to be. One of the best shows definitely out there. So thanks for joining me, Natalie. And last, but definitely not least, and from Everyday EMS Tips and all of his great podcasts that he does, is Mr. Greg Fries. Hello, sir.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
I'm good. I think we're all fine.
Yeah,
so
good.
Far.
You know, I think we need to have our own conference. We don't need to go to so many conferences, much as start making our own. I, for a long time, have wanted to do an online conference, you know, like a day-long series of sessions. People could register for the live session, or they could get access to a recording. And, you know, Yeah, I think it's great to go to conferences, but all of us should be giving conferences, doing the conference thing.
Well, you know what would be cool is to have I always thought it would be neat to have an EMS technology conference, because nothing like that exists. And nowhere. I mean, I can't find one anywhere. And it'd be cool to have one that revolved around technologies that dealt with EMS reporting, and technologies that revolved around, you know, cardiac transmission, and technologies that revolved around just computers in general, and just and EMS 2.0, and all those really cool things that we have in our industry that really people don't know about. And I think it might draw, I mean, maybe the first year it might draw a couple hundred people, but maybe the following year we could get a couple thousand people. I mean, who knows? And maybe it'd start out small, but definitely could be fun. And then at the same time, you offer online content along with the classes themselves, and people that couldn't afford to make it could pay, you know, $20 a session or something very cheap, and watch the session and get CEs and learn what's new in technology and get to participate, even though they couldn't jump on a plane and make it themselves. So I like that idea. I think that'd be a really cool idea.
I'm going to call you the conference convener, and I'll be on your committee.
Perfect.
Well, that's, you know, a good segue. Tomorrow night on the Educast, Kelly Grayson is going to be our guest. And after he came back from EMS today, he wrote a blog post about the whole experience with a sidebar about, you know, sort of his perspective on the content presented at a lot of EMS conferences, that it's kind of the same old by the same old people. And so tomorrow night on the Educast, we're going to talk about if you're an educator that wants to get into the conference circuit, how you can break in, or if you're a conference host, how you can make sure that you're delivering content that people will continue to find interesting, and that maybe also how to get people to talk about your conference online and spread the word and, you know, sort of freshen the whole experience up a little bit.
Yeah, because it has, in my mind, it's become kind of this staid old thing where go to conference, get badge, go to class, go to exhibit hall, go home. And it's got to be, there's got to be something better and new out there. And I think...
Well, and One of the things I don't know is that when people go to a conference, because, you know, I don't know how many people are at EMS today, say like 5,000, maybe a really high estimate, I don't know. But that's such a small proportion of the total U.S. EMS population. So is conference attendance for most people like a once-in-a-career thing? Or is it, you know, 70% of the attendees are people that go to conferences regularly, and then the other 30%, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing? So that would be an interesting data to have. But I think what, you know, I, like Natalie, was kicking myself that I wasn't at EMS today because of the sort of collegial and fun that everybody was having. And, you know, I think you either go to a conference with sort of like a team of people from your organization and then hang with those people, or you go solo. And when I've gone solo to conferences, I always find myself walking around thinking, who, you know, I got to make some friends, or I got to bring friends with me. But this whole social media thing is giving people friends that they then meet in person at a conference for the first time. And that's, I think, pretty exciting for a lot of folks.
Well, that's how I met all you guys. I mean, I went to EMS Expo solo and, you know, got to know you guys. And, hey, that's like the best thing that happened to me. So I definitely, the social opportunities and the networking at those kind of conferences is just, you can't beat that. I'm just, you know, I'm still in awe of the great things I've accomplished. And just a few months from meeting you guys and stepping out of my shell and saying, yeah, I'll go solo.
Well, you know, it would be neat to have an EMS social media conference where if you come to the conference, you can't know anybody, or you can't bring anybody from your agency. It's probably impossible to do, but wouldn't that be neat? Because then you would be kind of forced into that realm of meeting new people. And just like I said at EMS today, this was probably the first conference I got to meet so many new people. Expo was, I got to meet a few new people. We got to meet Natalie and a few others, but man, EMS today was just an explosion of new people and new ideas and getting recognized, which was kind of odd. And I really loved that, but it was fun. And to me, it was really what we're trying to accomplish here is making our community that much smaller and just making people recognize that we're a smaller entity. I mean, even though there's about 250 to 500,000 EMTs in the United States, and it really is a small community, and we really have an opportunity to really learn from each other, and that's what this is really about. So I really applaud that.
But I've heard the community is as high as 900,000 people. So,
see, and I've heard it was smaller, but yeah. maybe not.
But either way, when you said that you'd met lots of new people, was it new people or was it people who you've met already online on Twitter and things like that? Because that's the interesting thing. You go by yourself, but you know there's so many people there who you already know. You just haven't met face to face yet. And that was the coolest thing.
Well, and I think that was pretty cool too, is to kind of know people already, but not really know them, and really get to hang out with them, and get to really meet them, and dine with them, and have a drink with them, and just hang out, and swap stories, and really recognize that patients in Canada really aren't that different than patients that I've dealt with, or patients in Baltimore aren't that different than patients I've dealt with, and I think that was even something that you said, Mark, on Chronicles of EMS, that, you know, in that episode, you were like, yeah, I've seen these patients before, but the way you deal with it is a little bit differently, but yeah, we all have the same kind of patients.
Exactly. People are people. Doesn't matter where they are, they all suffer the same problems. They all have the same concerns.
That's exactly right. I think, Kyle, have you left or are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm draining my battery, though.
Well, give us your opinion on this. What do you think? I mean, you're kind of in social media, so what do you think about what we're talking about?
I think definitely something. It's something new I kind of got into. I mean, I go back and wasn't so much social media, but Greg and I worked with each other, what was it, almost 2 years before we actually met, Greg? A year and a half before we actually met?
I'd say closer to 3 years. I tried to drag it out as long as I could.
Wow.
Probably good 3 years.
Yeah, I know we met like 2 years ago at NEMZI, like the day before our conference on that. And since then, I was kind of kicking and screaming, getting into social media a little bit, just not quite sure about it. And, the ADD, my attention span is short. And then I got a new phone and then got a Twitter. And I downloaded TweetDeck today, and it's becoming addictive. And I think it's absolutely phenomenal. It's like, you're not going to conferences by yourself anymore. It's like, it's like everyone's saying, you kind of already have an understanding of who people are, to a point and interacting with them. So, I'm really excited about Expo this year, about getting down there and, meeting everybody, that I've been twittering back and forth and talking on the podcast with. So it's definitely, the whole social media has just exploded in our profession, and it's going to do nothing but expand it. I mean, Mark, what you guys are doing with Chronicles, I mean, it's just, fantastic. I'm showing, guys I work with every day, hey, check this episode out. It's all, and it leads to more discussion.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and it's amazing that, I know, with Nat, we've, tweeted each other a few times in different, things that, in EMS, and just learning what people are doing throughout the country. I was riding around the other day working, and I've been in EMS for over 20 years, and I'm sitting here going, I'm excited again. I'm excited to be back in the EMS, to be in EMS. It's fantastic to be doing what we're doing.
I love to hear people talk about it that way, and to see... we lost Kyle. Well, poor guy. Apparently his battery just died. But so I'm glad we got him in. But I agree. I'm glad to see people that love what we do again, and they're excited to be a part of that. And that's what I've said for a long time about the show Trauma, is how do we get people interested? And maybe this is one of the ways we do it, is through social media and through different avenues than we've really taken before, versus the same old of, for me, I grew up in a volunteer system, and then I went to a paid system, and then it just kind of grew on me after a while, and that's kind of how I ended up where I'm at today. But I think it's neat to see new people get excited about it because of social media, or, even meeting people at EMS today that have never, that aren't even EMTs yet, and they're like, oh, I'm here, I'm not an EMT, but I'm going to be one someday, and I want to be a part of this. And to me, that's huge. That's absolutely what this is all about. I had a cough there, so I'll cut that out. So sorry about that. But so a part of this is, we do have a new sponsor, and I want to talk about that. I really wasn't planning on talking about our sponsor at this point, but I think it's important because our new sponsor is Audible.com. If you, I don't know if you have ever heard of these people, but they're great. Audible.com is a place where you can go and find books about pretty much anything or any topic. And we're talking about social media tonight. You can actually go to audible.com and search for social media. One of the books they have there, and I have not listened to it, so this is not an endorsement of the book, but I think it's a very nice sample of what they have. It's The Culture of Fear: Why Americans Are Afraid of Doing the Wrong Things. And it really talks about one of the little things in there. It says, we're in a time when our society and our knowledge is growing so quickly, and we really need to learn about that. And so go to Audible and expand your knowledge. 75,000 books that you can learn. Now, Mark, you were telling me about that you did something today. What was it?
Yeah, it was just, I was actually doing a lot of housework today, and I was listening to a couple of old, well, not old, just EMS Garage podcasts, and I heard last week's where you mentioned it. So when I was writing a blog post tonight, I thought I'd have a quick look on Audible as well, and then signed up and got my first free book. Yeah, so thank you for that.
Wait, did you use my link?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, right on. Okay, very cool. So you went to audiblepodcast.com/EMS and got a free book and a 14-day free trial.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And, somebody told me the other day, they're like, well, Audible's in competition with you. I'm like, well, I only do about 2 to 3 hours of programming a week. So if you have, let's say, like me, I have about 10 hours a week where I really want to listen to something. And so I have about 5 or 6 shows that I listen to very routinely. So when I go to listen to those shows, then I'm like, I want something else to entertain me. And it's like, somebody told me last week, it's like reading without reading. And I'm like, that's what this is really about. So have you tried it yet? Have you listened to one, or you just downloaded it?
I've downloaded it. I haven't tried it. I'm going to keep it for my soon-to-become regular 24 hours sitting in economy on a transatlantic flight every month. And
you are quite the world traveler. I hope you're getting all those miles, by the way.
I just want to be upgraded just once. That would be great.
You have noise-canceling headphones yet, Mark?
No, I really need them. I really essential. Need them.
Absolutely. Definitely. Essential.
The free ones from British Airways don't seem to do the job that well.
Oh, I agree.
Especially when you take them out of the seat back from the passenger before you.
Oh, see, now that'll go against your whole anti-germ thing, dude. Completely. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And my phobia of earwax is well documented.
I have that phobia, too.
That's earwax it. Phobia. Wow. I'm not even going to talk about your earwax. But if you want to listen to Audible books and you want to get 75,000 titles and virtually any genre, I mean, last week we were talking about psychology and learning about fear and different things, and we found a book about it. And so you can find, if you can think about it, I'm pretty sure you can find a book in 75,000 titles. It's like your own virtual library. Get a free audiobook and a 14-day free trial by signing up today. Go to audible.com, or sorry, let's do that again. Go to audiblepodcast.com/EMS. Get your free book, 14-day free trial, and it's on me. And that's it. That's all you need. If after 14 days you don't want it, you don't like it, cancel it, and you get the free book still, and it's yours to keep. So thank you, Audible, and thanks for becoming a part of our podcast. And Mark, thank you for downloading. I've yet to download my free book, and I'm getting there. No, wait. I actually take that back. I downloaded my free book for Christmas. Audible sent me a free book, and it was very cool. And I've listened to it, and I've had a lot of time in the air, and I really loved it. So it was, and it's. And I love when you get those books that, sorry, I'm really diverging here, but when you get those books that are really well read and really well done, when people have the different voices, I just love that. So it's very cool. So, sorry, I wanted to move along a little bit. So the other thing I want to talk about, one of the other two things I want to talk about tonight, and really the reason Greg's on here and he's like, come on, really, dude, get to it, is the new EMS education standards. And Greg, can you tell us how long it will be till those new education standards come out? Do you know how long it's going to be till we enact those? I heard it was 2011, but maybe it's a little longer than that.
They're out. They're out, and the publishers are working on new books, and, you know, the educators are supposed to be coming up with curriculum to use them. You know, as far as I know, the final process is they're written. And, you know, we're at the conference Kyle and I were at a couple weeks ago. You know, different publishers were saying things like, this is the first EMT book based on the new standards, or this is the first paramedic book. And so it's happening. And, I think your question points to sort of an interesting part of the whole process is that, you know, for years, I don't know exactly the time length or the process, educators have been gathering to come up with these new standards, but probably the vast majority of educators have been on the sidelines, more or less in a just waiting for, well, just tell me what I need to teach and give me the stuff to teach it. You know, I think that your question is sort of reflective of where a lot of educators are at with the whole thing of, well, as soon as the new book and the new PowerPoints are out, I'll start doing it.
Well, what about and this is kind of a new area for Colorado because we've had essentially 4 levels in the state, EMTB, EMT Basic, EMT Intermediate, EMT paramedic, and under EMT basic we had EMT basic with IV. Now those have kind of gone away, so now we have EMT advanced EMT paramedic, and do you see that this, it's going to take time for, I know in Colorado this is going to take us years and years and years, probably 5 to 10 years, to really get rid of what was this old language in our system to the new language. EMT and paramedic are going to be easy. It's this middle ground where this idea of role confusion, and we really don't know what an intermediate is versus an AEMT, and it's going to be a long time for us to really meld those in together, because EMT intermediate really was the ALS for rural areas in Colorado, and now that that's going away, it's kind of ripping apart what we've really tried to build for all the years. I would say that a majority of the 500 certified EMT intermediates in the state of Colorado provide service in rural areas, and they do a huge service for their communities, and they're what I would call a 90% paramedic. And it's going to take time to get there. So do you see that this is really going to be an issue over time that's going to take a while for a lot of states to get aligned to, or do you think it's going to be quick and Colorado's just an anomaly?
Well, I think it's really going to vary from state to state. And, you know, your nostalgic view of, you know, the label intermediate and the role of intermediates in your state system is interesting, given sort of your well-documented history of shouldn't we all be called paramedics? And so, you know, it's just, I think so many states are different. I couldn't even count for you, you know, the different levels of providers that have existed in Wisconsin while I've been, you know, in EMS since 2000, and, you know, just the sort of like convoluted nature of our two states, I think, reflects the difficulties of each state having to make decisions about how do they implement this, and, you know, does this require the opening of administrative rule or new legislation? Because if you have legislation that defines the scope of practice for a position called an EMT intermediate IV technician, you know, you can't really implement new education standards until you redo the, you know, you redo the legislation, because that could affect how, you know, school tuition is reimbursed through state funding programs. It's sort of like on and on. So I think it's really complex. But I also think it's good to be moving towards some more consistent language. And then also what the standards do is try to move away from a prescriptive set of topics that should be covered in any given lecture or subject area, and works more towards, you know, this is the knowledge that somebody should have, and how you get them there, you can decide as an educator, which I think could probably be very exciting for a lot of educators. You know, it's just like, hey, you got to make a paramedic, go. And other educators are probably really apprehensive because they've been making a paramedic with a very well-defined recipe, with a set of instruction materials that are very closely aligned with the recipe. So I think it's going to be complex.
Well, and the reason I was talking about it and really thought about it tonight was we had a listener email us this week and said, hey, so what's the deal with all those new national levels? And he's from Iowa, and he said, we have 12 levels of EMT in our state. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. So I thought Colorado was bad at 4. 12 is pretty amazing. So he said, yeah, it's going to take him a while to get there. So I just wanted to see. So, Mark, what do you think, as far as coming from a system where you're a college-educated paramedic to a place where we're just still trying to figure this out? What's your take on this whole idea?
I'm still baffled by it all. You had a gentleman on one of the podcasts you did at EMS Today. It was the one after mine, I think. He was an educator. I can't remember where he was from or even what his name was. I think he was on with Jamie Davis. But I was talking to him the night before, and he was talking about various you know, things that were stopping people from going into education, going into the courses, all the funding difficulties, all the different courses, all the different routes and how it can all be done. And it just baffled me so bad, you know, over here now. I think it's by next year or the year after, anyone who wants to go into paramedicine has to go through a 2-year foundation degree program, and that's going to be the standard of entry to onto the HPC register, the Health Professions Council register. But what he was trying to explain to me, I just couldn't understand it, and I still can't get over the sheer size of your country. And I know it's a lot different from our little United Kingdom over here, but over here, if you're a paramedic, you're a paramedic, you're a paramedic. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, what training you have, you're always trained to that same level. And then you can move throughout the country and work for whichever service you want, because it's all the same. But there's so many different options and ways in for the medics over there that it just baffles me. I'm trying to get my head around it, but no matter how hard I try, and when I think I've got it, then someone says about another level of EMT or another way in or another method of training, and I just don't know. I'm confused.
Well, one of the fallbacks is, of course, the geography of, you know, this is a massive country, relatively speaking, with mm-hmm. a lot of people, and then that, you know, the 14th Amendment talks about any rights not directly stated in the Constitution belong to the states, and thus states come up with a lot of solutions to state problems. And then, of course, the historical aspects of that sort of fracturing of the EMS system that happened not too long after it was formed, when a lot of the federal funding went away. So then everyone was on their own.
Well, and that's a good point, but we're trying to nationalize it a little bit with National Registry and all the things we're trying to do, but it's going to take some time yet. And you're right, I do think that we should all be called paramedic, but that's a topic for another time, I'm sure. One thing I do want you all to be aware of is that we are bringing the International Roundtable for Community Paramedicine right here to Vail, Colorado this summer. And one of the topics is going to be about this, about the new EMT levels and about the educational standards. And we're actually going to have students from Australia, 3 or 4 of them, and students from the United States that are all paramedic students currently, come together and do a paper about the differences and similarities between their systems and their skills. And that's going to be an interesting topic. We're actually going to give them an hour and a half to present this idea and really formulate their plans, and then we're going to try and rip them apart as an audience. There will be several people in the audience that have done this before, PhD types that are way above my pay grade for sure, and it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about everything that these students come up with. I have a feeling it's going to be something that we all feel already and already know, so that'll be pretty interesting.
Is it something you would want to see to have, if you just have it to 3 different levels, an EMT, basic, an intermediate, and a paramedic, or 3 different names of a paramedic, would you want to see, or is it even possible that can be the same for across the whole United States? One level of training for one level of skills? Or does that have to be different based on your geography and your system resources? Because I would assume whatever individual needs a service has, the training that their paramedics can have and need would still be the same, or am I wrong?
Well, you know, everybody, you were saying earlier that America's big, and while the United States is large geographically, I think we're small in the idea that I can go right now and go to Ohio or Kansas City or back east or out west and go to Stanford, or I can go to medical school anywhere, and at the end of the time, I'll be called a doctor. I can go anywhere in the United States right now and become a nurse. And at the end of the time, I will be called a nurse. But the problem is, I can't do that in the United States to be a paramedic. And if we're going to be a profession that really relies on this idea that we're professionals and we provide medical care, we need to come to this idea that you can go anywhere and become a paramedic and go anywhere else and practice. So, Mark, I really think that your point is that, yeah, we do need a common, we need a common educational system in the United States that trains paramedics the same way, and that certification or license or whatever it is the same across states and across across borders, and it doesn't really matter. Yeah, your protocols may differ here or there, and that's not a problem, but at the end of the day, everybody's the same, and you're trained the exact same way. And until we get to that point, I think we're kind of doomed as an industry in the United States.
I had this conversation with my supervisor just the other day. We worked on a truck together, and we're talking about the move in Louisiana to make the associate's degree in paramedicine. It's going to be a requirement in 2011, from what I've heard. And he kind of stated that, you know, back in the day, nursing was, they had a certificate in nursing. And that move from eliminating the certificate in nursing to make it an RN degree is what really upped their profession. They became a common profession versus this nurse can do that, this nurse can do that, and they all made $10 an hour and suffered for it. And if we move that into EMS, we could become a profession and be respected as professionals, along with other things, not just that. But I mean, I think that's where we're being held back so often, is that some states, like here in Louisiana, we're a certificate program versus we have associates in places, but it's not mandatory. And it's going to start being, which I'm really stoked about. But, you know, just moving from that mindset of we can just, you know, I can go to this class and have a certificate, or I can go to school and have a bachelor's in paramedicine, which I'd like to see more people taking that step so we can become not just a job, but a profession.
Man, well, and you know what the other thing is, and where some of the more sophisticated countries really are ahead of us, is they have a college of paramedicine. And Mark, do you guys have a college of paramedicine in the UK?
Yes.
And what do they do? What do they help with? And what is their sole purpose in life?
It's sort of advising government, advising union, working with the Joint Royal College of Ambulance Liaison Committee, which is our body that defines our guidelines, not protocols anymore. They don't really have a significant amount of power, but it's there. You know, we have a College of Pre-Hospital Care. We have the Joint Royal College of Surgeons has a pre-hospital care wing, and the person in charge of that is Professor Malcolm Woolard, who was actually a paramedic, who's worked his way up, and he's now the head of a Royal College of Surgeons of pre-hospital care. You know, so he's gone right the way up the top, and our figurehead, and you'll have heard him a lot if you read any research, certainly from over here, is someone who started off as a paramedic and worked his way up.
You know, just looking at the standards, one of the things as an educator that's exciting to me, the way the new standards are written, is that for each of the levels, it gives you not specific information, but just some important points of what a student should master. So, for example, at the emergency medical responder level, for endocrine emergencies or disorders, they're expected to have simple depth and simple breadth awareness that diabetic emergencies cause altered mental status. And then at the EMT level, that same stuff plus an understanding of how acute diabetic emergencies occur. And then at a paramedic level, you know, more in depth about the anatomy, physiology, epidemiology, pathophysiology, sort of on and on, not just about acute diabetic emergencies, other diabetic emergencies, and then also awareness about adrenal disease and pituitary and thyroid disorders. So, you know, I think it's helpful because it gives you a destination, but not necessarily the exact things that you have to cover on your way to that destination. You know, there's a lot of different ways to teach EMT about acute diabetic emergencies, and as an educator, now you get to pick.
Greg, do you really feel that our decline as an industry happened
I want to say 1996 when the then new EMT educational standards came out, and they said, you know, we're not going to teach EMTs about all that anatomy and physiology stuff because they really don't need that. They really don't need to understand this. They just need to understand that arm hurts, go to hospital. And did we start dumbing down our profession then, or did it happen, or have we just eroded it over time and we just haven't figured it out yet?
Well, that 1996 predates my involvement in EMS, so I don't have a good answer for that question. I think, at the start of the show, Kyle talked about his renewed enthusiasm for the profession, and that's the same way I feel that in the 8 years now that I've been involved in different aspects of EMS education. You know, the thing that's probably most exciting to me is people that are pursuing education for the sake of education. You know, once they're already in the profession, there's more opportunities than ever for continuing education and alternatives for refresher education. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, Mark and I and others have EMS-related blogs and people, we have a growing audience of people that are interested in learning more about things related to EMS and other EMS professionals. That's cause for optimism for me. And, if there was sort of a tipping point when things went bad and now we're still recovering from that, I'm not sure.
Right. Well, now, but in that statement, you made me feel really old, because when you said that, I realized at that point I'd been in EMS about 7 years. So, yeah, now
well,
I feel really old.
Just think of, like, you know, your service is maybe kind of an outlier because of your location and that you generally have young, healthy trauma patients. But what the churn rate of EMTs especially is in so many organizations. And so, you know, while we might have a lot of crusty educators and managers bemoaning, you know, what happened in 96, you know, there are very few people still, you know, just EMTs are created so quickly and in and out of the job so quickly. I don't think it matters that much.
Right. Well, and if you go to Breckenridge, Colorado, you can't throw a dead cat without hitting an EMT. So I think that just proves the success of that program to churn out a lot of people all the time. In our state, with 15,000 EMTs, of those, 3,000 are paramedics, 500 are intermediates, and the rest. So clearly, 11,500 of them are EMT basics. That is a lot of EMTs.
Purely an administrator evaluating work processes and staff time, you know, if I only had 500 out of 15,000 people were intermediates, I think I would be acting quickly to do away with intermediates, so I wouldn't have to have an intermediate relicensing process and an intermediate service licensing process and intermediate curriculum materials. And, you know, I would act quickly to do away with that. But then there'd probably also be fairly significant political pressure. And that, of course, is a whole nother conversation about, you know, there's a general tendency in EMS to, maybe in all things, to be resistant to change, but to sort of defend the status quo, despite overwhelming evidence that there might be easier or better or simply different ways to do something.
You mean there's evidence? Come on. Stop it.
Yeah.
Well, but I have to say what Mark said earlier, that we really need, and I know Malcolm, isn't he from Wales, Mark?
Oh, I don't know where he originates from now.
Okay. I think I know Malcolm. If it's the same Malcolm, I'm sure there are a bunch of Malcolms in the UK, but I have a feeling it's the same one. And, you know, he has a really good handle on what's going on in the industry, and until we get a college of paramedicine in the United States, this is not going to change. And I know people are like, I don't understand that. I don't know what you mean. Well, just start Googling college of paramedicine. Pretty much anywhere else in the world, any other truly civilized country is going to have it. You know, we're backwards on our healthcare policy. We're backwards on a bunch of other things in healthcare in the United States. Well, we're also backwards. One of the few countries that invented EMS in the United States in the 1960s and 70s, and here we are today, still talking about how we're going to do it right. And all these other countries have far surpassed anything that we could do. And that to me is a shame, and someday we'll get there. But hopefully this next step is a step in the right direction. I really can't wait to see how some of these classes come out with the EMTs. That will be the proof in the pudding for me, is how these new graduates are coming out of school and what their real base of knowledge is and what they're really learning in school. I think that'll speak volumes as to the type of people that we're turning out of these schools. So to my mind, I think that's going to be huge for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. My hunch as an employer will be that you won't notice any difference. Because remember, the entry, you know, the sort of barrier to entry is passing the registry exam. And, you know, I think change, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm skeptical that you'll be able to perceive like, oh, you know, 2 years after these new standards, we're clearly getting better EMTs. It must be because of the new standard, you know, the standards that happened 2 years ago. I don't know. I hope you do.
Well, isn't that sad that we're changing the name, but we're not really changing the education? I mean, what does that tell me about what we're doing?
Right. Well, and that kind of goes back to my first point of, you know, there was a very, very committed and highly regarded and very well qualified group of people that worked on this project. But, you know, my sort of core thought of this is that, you know, the vast majority of EMS educators are just on the sidelines waiting for, well, as soon as I get the new book with the new PowerPoints, I'll stop using the old PowerPoints and start using the new PowerPoints. And, you know, if the publisher also produced some tests, I'll give those tests and I'll just have to change the page numbers on the syllabus. You know, when you read about respiratory emergencies, it's these page numbers now. And so, you know, whether they'll be at the local level, at a college level, some sort of like, you know, refocused education program, you know, hey, here's the new standards and here's how we're all going to teach differently. And, you know, we're going to be driven by objectives and not recipes. Let's all do better education. Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be same people just with new books.
That's funny when you say that. That's actually very interesting. I'm hopeful for our future. I just have to say that. I think that as more and more people start to understand this issue and really get on board with what's going on versus maybe the, I hate to say it, the same old, same old of education. And as you know, Greg, I've called them this before, and I don't at all refer to you as this, the educrats in our system that have turned the education of our system into a bureaucracy. I hope that we can overcome that, and this is a step in the right direction. But I'm less than hopeful than I was before we started this podcast, so oh well. And it has been confirmed. I do know Malcolm from the UK, and he's the same guy. So anyway,
yeah.
Very interesting. So Mark and Natalie, any last thoughts? You know, this podcast went a little bit longer in a different direction than I thought. And next time we're going to talk about Dr. Bledsoe's article on trauma and how long it should take you. But so we're going to wrap up here in a minute. But so give me some last thoughts on this topic and where you guys see us going. And Mark, maybe give us a glimpse of, do you guys even know where you're going as in the UK as far as educational standards?
Just what's happened recently in that all the paramedics who have been trained in the old style, more on time served and going back in for a 10-week course here and there. I was currently doing a bridging foundation degree program, just to move over so I can get my foundation degree in paramedic science, because that is going to be the standard requirement for new entries into the register within the next 2 years. So that's where it's going. We're now pretty much settled on just two grades of staff: our emergency care support workers, who are trained to assist us as the paramedics, and a paramedic, and that's it.
Wow. Very cool. So even though we have to catch up to you, we're going to have to catch up to you again. So now you'll be, again, that much further ahead of us. Natalie, you've given us a little bit, but what do you think about the new standards? You won't be called in... Well, what in Louisiana are you? Are you an EMTP or are you just a P?
I am an EMT paramedic.
A peon.
Yes, a peon. But we really don't even use the EMTIs here. We have EMTBs and EMTPs for the majority of the state.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, we don't have 12 breakdowns of things like in Iowa or 4 as in Colorado. But, you know, I just recently got out of the education system. I'm a new paramedic-ish. I've only been out in the field for 2.5 years. I think it can only go up from here. Well, I hope it can only go up from here. You know, like I said before, I'd like to see us move to a professional level and not just have the certificate programs, not even the associates. I want to see a move for better education, and, you know, it's going to bring about the more passionate people. It's going to weed out those who aren't so passionate and, you know, keep those who are really passionate in. So I have big dreams for EMS and education.
And thanks for reminding me that you were in fourth grade when it was 1996. So, yeah, and I was 7 years into EMS. Wow, that's great. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. Wow. Well, and Greg, your final thoughts on where we need to go as an industry. You know, give me your 2-minute view of where we're at 10 years from now.
Where we're at 10 years from now? Well, I think we're having an excellent vacation somewhere warm and tropical, toasting to the great success we've enjoyed as bloggers and podcasters, and that by doing something other than just working on a rig, we moved forward in life rapidly with great financial reward, and we're able to toast and celebrate that success.
Okay, but I was talking more as an industry, but you know what? Oh. You just gave me an idea, though. What about the EMS Social Media 2.0 cruise? No. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I get a number of those. I think there's a couple different organizations that are trying to run those cruises. But I think, you know, what you're demonstrating with the EMS Expo and EMS Today is that if you start building a tribe online, a community online, then make a call to action to that community to gather at a place, it's possible. You know, do we have enough people in our EMS 2.0 social media online community to feel a cruise ship yet? I don't know, but certainly that's exciting. And, you know, I think maybe my final thought would be related to the education, is that increasingly educators will recognize that EMS education exists more broadly than what they're delivering one night a week or 3 afternoons a week in their classroom as a, you know, sort of the sole member of their college's EMS department, and that there's a greater community that they can join in, whether it be through blogs or podcasts or social networking groups, and they'll learn other ways and share other ways to teach and deliver and make paramedics in a way that employers like you will notice.
And it just so happens that Justin's Happy Medic's sister-in-law organizes cruise ship things for speciality groups. So there's a way in.
Okay, I'm so setting that up next. I feel the EMS water cruise / social media, whatever we're going to make it, 2012 coming to you. And we're going to the Caribbean in the wintertime because, man, this time of year I need some beach time. Seriously.
I'm so in for that.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad the time change happened because the sun just set about 20 minutes ago here and I'm in my happy zone because I have light again, which is good. Now I'll just get warm. It was 60 today, so I guess I can't complain. But, well, thank you guys very much. Mark Glencorse, where can people find you? You're on Twitter and a bunch of other places, but where can people find you?
Yeah, Twitter is UKMedic999. My blog is 999medic.com. And that's the main places. I'll be out in Denver in 3 weeks' time. For the Zoll Summit as well with Justin and yourself. I think you're going to be there as well, eh?
I'll be there at least 2 days. Two of the days you'll be there, I'll be there. And I'm going to be incognito. I'm just going to be doing some leadership courses. I'm going to be doing some Twittering. I'm going to stalk you guys. I'm going to follow you around. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm going to enjoy that. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I've been to the Zoll conference now for 5 years running. And let me tell you, the first year it was in a very small hotel. It was about 3 rooms. And I walked in and went, wow. And there were like 50 people there. And I knew all of them. And I went, okay, next conference. And then the next year got bigger. And last year was huge. It was absolutely, for a small specialty conference, I think there were 200 or 300 people there. And to me, it's not expo huge, but man, it was for a small conference where I saw it came from. It was great to see, or to not even know half the people that were there, which was really good. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing you guys there, and that'll be a lot of fun. So can't wait to have you in my backyard, and we'll go do some fun things in Lodo, and it'll be a lot of fun. Natalie, where can people find you, Miss P?
You can find me at Twitter. I'm at Miss Paramedic. You can find me on my blog, which I need to start writing more on, missparamedic.com. Also,
you said moron. Just want you to know that.
More on. Excuse my southern accent. Goodness gracious.
It was just kind of funny.
Don't worry, Natalie. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
And you also can find me, I'm host of a little podcast called the Generation Medicine Show, genmedshow.com. We have a few episodes up on iTunes. Look for more in the future. I'm all over.
Are you guys on iTunes yet or no?
We are on iTunes.
I heard your feed is fixed now, so you can get your can still get your episode there, right?
Yes, we had some problems with the server, but now it is up and running. Thank
God. That's so annoying. That's really annoying when you get those problems. Well, thank you, Natalie, and to all the people over at GenMed. Hi. I'm still awaiting my invite to the GenMed show. Thanks a lot.
Just anytime that. You want. I told you anytime you want.
I know, but you don't tell me when I don't even know when you're taping, and then all of a sudden, ooh, new episode up. So I'm just making you feel guilty now. I'm going to guilt you into it the same way Kelly Grayson guilted me onto coming onto our show. He called me a hobbit and said he was awaiting his invite. So I said I have to. So if you haven't read Kelly Grayson's blog, just Google it. And it actually had me in tears. It was so funny. It was really good. Mr. Greg Fries, where can people find you?
They can find me at everydayemstips.com. They can also connect with me on Twitter. I'm at gfreeze, G as in Greg, FRIESE.
And you're the host of EMS Educast and medical author chat. And are you guys starting a new? I thought I saw you guys on a new podcast recently. No?
Yeah, Jim Hoffman and I are doing a call-in show called EMS Office Hours. We're using Blog Talk Radio. We're going to do that every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. So just a place that people can call up, chat about EMS. If they're a student, they have questions, ask those questions. We'll kind of loosely have a topic. But certainly any of you are welcome, or anyone listening to this podcast, The Garage, can join us. And you can also find EMS office hours as part of the ProMed network.
Nice. Oh, yeah, we're on ProMed as well. I love ProMed. Jamie Davis, good guy. Thanks for having us on ProMed. Thanks, Audible, for having us as a sponsor. Also, I wanted to welcome a brand new partner to our show, EMS One. You'll find more about this partnership coming out in the next few weeks. EMS One has graciously added our podcast to their webpage, and you'll find more about that coming up shortly. And we're going to share some things. He's agreed to come on once a month. I'm going to drag him on here and make him talk. That guy can talk, so he just says he can't, but he can. So we're really proud to have EMS One on our podcast coming up soon. So EMSone.com, go there. Audiblepodcast.com/EMS if you want to find more information. I'm Geeky Medic on all those websites. Join us next week for more news on EMS that concerns you. And thanks, Mark, Natalie, and Greg, and Kyle David Bates. Go to KyleDavidBates.com. Find him there and thank him for his awesome brand new logos for all of our shows. And I really appreciate that. So thanks, Kyle, and thank you. Have a great week.